This afternoon, we are going to review the message during the past Chinese New Year conference. I and Ken Mooney will share message 1 and 2. And tonight, Brother James Lee will share message 3. And tomorrow, he will also share message 4 and 5. We don't have much time, so at the very beginning, I just want to give you some highlight, some burden, some insight for this conference. Okay? Amen. Amen. Okay, let's go on. Okay, concerning the burden for this conference.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The burden for this conference.
Amen.
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 Last year, if you remember, we have a so-called refugee crisis, right? Due to the civil war, many saints in the Middle East, they left their country, they migrate to Europe. And the target is Germany. So the co-workers begin to consider, maybe we need to seize the opportunity to gain some of them, right? Because in Revelation chapter 7, John saw that there are multitude of people from every nation, every tongues, every people, every tribes, they stand in front of the throne. So that multitude of people, surely including some Arabic speakers and some Farsi speakers, right? So the co-worker decided to take the opportunity to gain some of them. Throughout the century, due to the strict regime, that part of the world had very few people being brought to Christ. So we decided to send the gospel team, have a short gospel trip to then gain the people. But after 1 year, the political environment has changed. Many German people, local people, they stood up to against these refugees. And we know already some of the refugees has been sent back to their country. So co-workers begin to consider, what is our goal in Europe? Do we just to gain the refugees? Not so. We remember in the book called The World Situation and the Direction of God's Move. Brother Lee said, before the Antichrist raise up, before the storm crash into the great image, the lost recovery must spread to Europe.
Amen.
The lost recovery must take ground in the church, in Europe. So, this year, we want to encourage saints to migrate to Europe to strengthen the church there and set up the golden lampstand in Europe.
Amen.
This is the burden lie behind this conference. And concerning some insight for this conference, I tell you, Ezekiel chapter 1 likened the Lord's Moon as a great wheel. You know the wheel has a hub. No matter how the wheel is running, no matter in what direction the wheel is moving, the hub is immovable. Throughout centuries, there are many human empire, rise and fall, but the center is the same. What is the center? The center is God's economy. Hallelujah! If we hold fast the God's economy, then we will not be lost in the human history. Now, this is some insight that we need to see. For us to work for the law, we must know how to cooperate with the law. But how do we know in what direction the law is moving? There's a secret. The secret is that the world situation is always an indicator of God's move.
Amen.
If you watch the world situation, then we will coordinate with the law. We will know what the law is going to move. We have an expert among us. That is our senior co-worker, Brother Witness Lee. He is the one who can seize the opportunity to cooperate with the law. Just give you two examples. In 1949, when there's a civil war in China, many mainlanders flee from mainland China to Taiwan, and many got saved. At that time, the whole island, the Christians among us is about, brothers say, is about 300 to 500. But within 5 years, there is a hundredfold of harvest. At that time, including our brother Zhang Kan was being saved. Amen. Amen. Right? Hallelujah. This is how our brother seized an opportunity to cooperate with the Lord. Amen. And also in 1991, after the first Gulf War, at that time, the former Soviet Union was dissolved. And Brother Lia began to wonder, oh, there's a vast land, a multitude of people there, and most of them are Christians. Why not the Lord's recovery spread to that part of the world? So during the winter time, he took the opportunity to send co-workers. Hey, Tony, you were there, right? That time. He sent the co-workers during the winter time to Russia. Russian people are amazed. They say that the tourists come to our country during the summertime. How come you come during the wintertime? So their heart will open to the Lord. Nowadays, we have 190 churches and 4,500 saints in the former Soviet Union. Hallelujah.
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 This is our example, our pattern of how we shall cooperate with the Lord for the furtherance of His move on the earth. Amen. So, with this in view, we can come to this message. Could we read the general subject together? Amen. Special. Amen. Okay. This is a special conference. This is not called a Chinese New Year conference. This is called a special conference, especially to the world situation and the Lord's move. Amen. I don't know how you feel. When you talk about the world situation, maybe we are a little bit afraid. Oh, this is too high. This is awesome. How can we, such a small man, can know the world situation? But I tell you, if you have a little situation, such as you move to another place, or you change your job, will you not seek the Lord's leading and guiding? That shows that even we have a little situation, we must know the Lord's leading and guiding in order to cooperate with the Lord. Likewise, if we care for the Lord's interest, we will love the Lord. We must know the world situation so that we can cooperate with the move in this age. So, now I come to message one. Could you read the title for message one together? Amen. Cooperating with the Lord out His move in His economy by knowing this age and by knowing the present truth. Okay, to cooperate with the Lord. Actually, the outline for this message was very simple. For Rome numerals, Roman 1 is for the first word, cooperate with God to carry out His move in His economy. And Roman 2 is the second phrase, by knowing this age. And Roman 3 is the third phrase, that is by knowing the present truth. And Roman 4 is tell us what is the present truth in the first 21st centuries. Okay? I will let you know the detail. Okay, Roman 1 says, in the book of Ezekiel, God's economy and God's move in His economy are signified by the high and ocean wheel. Amen. In Ezekiel, we see God's move, and it was even signified by the wheel. I tell you, it is very meaningful for God's move to be signified by the wheel. When do you need a wheel? If you walk from your dining room to your living room, do you need a wheel? No. What do you need? Food. But if you want to move here to Minnesota, then what do you need? You need a wheel. So whenever the Bible mentions a wheel, it refers to a special move, even a fast move. You know, the Ezekiel likened the moving of the four living creatures as a lightning bolt. So what kind of speed it is? It's a light speed. The church is proper. The church has proper coordination. In the church, it's normal. The movement of the church will be like a light speed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We really like to see today the church this kind of situation. Amen. Asa, the hub of this great wheel signifies Christ as the center of God's economy. And the ring signifies Christ's counterpart, the church, who is consummate in the New Jerusalem. The spoke of the wheel spreading from the hub to the ring signified the many believers as a member of Christ. So, from this picture of the great wheel, we see God's economy. Why? We know the wheel has a hub, has a ring, and many spokes. What is the hub? Hub is the center. And the center is Christ. And what is the ring? The ring is the church, the counterpart, the circumference of Christ. That is Christ's enlargement. That is Christ's corporate expression. And the many spokes are the believers. So, what's this? This is a picture of God's economy. Amen. So, in Ezekiel chapter 1, we see God's economy. But this economy is not static. It's not just stay there. If you see a wheel, the purpose of the wheel is to move to somewhere, right? So, B say, the appearing of the wheel on the earth beside the living creature indicate that God's move on earth follow the coordination of the four living creatures. You know, the last winter training, we have the book of Ezekiel. We studied these four living creatures very much. The four living creatures, they had the feet of a calf, right? They also had an eagle's wing. But it is very strange. Their move do not depend on the feet of the calf. Their move is not only depending on the eagle's wing. Their move is by the wheel. Amen. Amen. How many miles per hour for cow's feet can move? Maybe 2 miles per hour. And how fast will the eagle fly? Wikipedia told us about 70 miles per hour. But praise the Lord. The movement of the four living creatures is a light speed. This light speed is produced from their coordination. Amen. So today, if we want the church to move, we must have a proper coordination so God can move on the earth in a very fast speed. C is very important. Let's read together. Amen. God's move. To deify man and to bring forth the new man so that God in Christ may have his corporate expression and administration. I like this point very much because it shows the direction of God's move is what? Is to deify man. We always saw that God's move is that God want me to go here or to go there, or God want me to do this or to do that. No. God's move is God's move in man. What is God's first move? God's move is that he moved from eternity past into the bridge of time into a man. That is his first move. Then he went through he lived on the earth for 33.5 years, and he went to the cross, he died, he resurrected, he ascended, he became the life-giving spirit. And eventually, his move is his move in us. He lives in us, He wants to sanctify us. He wants to permeate us. He wants to glorify us. That is his ultimate move. So today, if we want to cooperate with the Lord, this is not just a matter of we move here or move there, we're doing this or doing this or doing that. God's move is that his move in man. If we want to cooperate with him, we want to let him deify us every day. So from the Ezekiel chapter 1, we see this picture. You know that Ezekiel 1:10 say that Ezekiel saw the four living creatures has a face of man. And also, the one on the throne was like a man. There's a man on the earth. Praise the Lord. There's a man in the heaven. The man on the earth is an expression on the man in the heavens. That means that God's desire is to deify us so that we can expression for the one on the throne. So, I feel this point is so wonderful. So eventually, God on the earth wants to gain a new man. We were created, but due to the fallen, we become the old man. But day by day, moment by moment, we receive his deification. We receive his dispensation. We receive his life supply. And this element, old element, has been purged out, been sanctified from us. And we become the one new man. And so that God's heart desire can be fulfilled on the earth. There is a man on the earth. It's an actual representation for the one on the throne. This is God's direction. This is God's economy. And this is God's move. D.C. Every local church and every individual believers should have a high and awesome will with them. In Acts chapter 13, where he said that in Antioch, in a local church, so there's a local church in Antioch, there are five prophets and teachers, such as Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manians, and Saul. And Acts 13 told us, while they are ministering to the Lord and fasting. What is they are ministering to the Lord and fasting? That means they become the four living creatures. And while they become the four living creatures, the Spirit sent to them, set apart Saul and Barnabas to do the work I want him to do. What is this? This is the wheel begin to move. Amen. Whenever we attend the prayer meeting, whenever we pray with the Lord, hallelujah, the wheel is beginning to move. Yes. Amen. So we need to attend in a prayer meeting. The more we pray, the more we cooperate with the Lord, the more the church will have a high and awesome wheel. Amen. E say, the wheel follow the living creatures indicate that the move of the God's work depends upon our moving. It also indicates that if we move in faith, the Lord will follow our move. We Christians always say that we need to follow the law, right? We need to depend the law, right? Right. On one hand, it is true. But on the other hand, Ezekiel chapter 1 told us that the wheel follow the four living creatures, which means God's move follow our coordination.
Amen.
If we have a proper coordination, praise the Lord, our move will become God's move.
Amen.
Our own word will become God's own word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we need to have a proper coordination so that our move can become our move. And this is very much to do with our faith. So in 2 Corinthians, Paul said that we walk by faith, not by appearance. 2 Corinthians 4:13, Paul said, I believe, therefore I speak. Amen. This is a positive example. And there is an example in Ecclesiastes 11:4, which is very meaningful. Let me read to you. He said, he who watches the wind do not sow, and he who look at the cloud do not reap. What is watching the wind? that is sitting on your house every day without doing nothing. And what is locking the crowd? Oh, you're just locking the crowd without doing anything. And this kind of person will not reap. Hallelujah. We should not become that kind of person. We shall go to sea. We shall go to sow the seed. And we shall go to reap the harvest so that we can be cooperate with the Lord. Amen. F. Let's read F, capital F together. Amen. The wheel follow the four living creatures, and the creatures follow the spirit. But the spirit is in the... Oh, it's so complicated. Let us have a clear mind. Okay. First is what? Okay. The wheel. There's a wheel. The wheel. The wheel follow the four living creatures. Okay? And the four living creatures follow what? The spirit. And where is the spirit? Spirit is in the wheel. So, who is following who? Hard to say. And Brother Lee said that this is the principle of incarnation. I tell you that Watchman Nee once said that the highest spirituality in the whole Bible is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Because Paul said that concerning the marriage, Paul said, to the marriage, I charge. He said, not I, but the Lord. This is his charge. He said, not I, but the Lord. And also in the 1 Corinthians 7:12, Paul said, but to the rest, I say. He said, I say, not the Lord. How dare Paul? How dare he say, this is I said, not the Lord. But eventually, at the end of this chapter, Paul said, but I think I have the Spirit of God. That shows that Paul is the one who is the one who cooperates with the Lord. So whatever Paul say, becomes the Lord's saying. Whatever Paul do, becomes the Lord's doing. Paul's command becomes the Lord's command. This is the highest spirituality, and this should be our situation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, now I come into Romans 2. Let's read Romans 2 together. Amen. To carry out his move in this economy, we must know this age. To know this age is to know the age of today's Christianity in a particular way, especially in relation to the revelation of the scripture, the divine truth, and genuine and robust knowledge. Amen. This says that since the wheel, you see the wheel? The wheel always had the connotation that it is moving. So if you want to cooperate with the Lord in the 21st century, you must know where the wheel is moving. So this is to know this age. Since do we know this age? How to say? Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 7 say, the stork in the sky know its appointed time. And the turtle dove and the crane keep the time of their coming. But my people do not know the ordinances of Jehovah. The birds, they know their appointed time. They know their time for coming and going. But my people may not know the time. And also in Matthew chapter 13, Lord Jesus said to the Pharisee that you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you do not know how to discern the sign in this age. So it shows that even we are God's people, even we believe into the Lord, there is a possibility that we don't know the age. So may the Lord save us from this age, to be enlightened by the Lord, to know the age, and to cooperate with the Lord. So, what is the characteristic for this age? Let's read chapter 8 together, under Romans 2. Not one of today's theologies, including the Nicene Creed, stresses adequately the following five critical points concerning the Spirit of God in the moving of God's eternal economy. Amen. There's 5 points which today's Christianity do not realize very much. I tell you, I don't have much time to explain this 5 points, but I tell you, this 5 points is very, very important, very, very crucial. The first point is that concerning John 7, verse 33 to 39. 37 to 39. I just give you some examples. In the last day, the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, "Whoever thirsts, then come to me. And as the scripture say, he who believes into me, out from his innermost being, shall flow out rivers of living water." I tell you, if you study at a theological seminary, your teacher will tell you, "Oh, I don't want to touch this portion. It's too confusing, too complicated." After his Lord Jesus said this word, you know, the Apostle John make a comment. He says, "This refer to the one, to the Spirit, he who believed into him were about to receive." He said, because the Spirit was not yet. What does it mean? The Spirit was not yet. Does that mean that the Apostle John, when he read the book of John, he do not know there's a Spirit? He's totally ignorant. When he write the Apostle John, he do not check with Matthew, with Luke. Oh, he do not know there's a Spirit. Is that what it means? Or does it mean that when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, the Spirit was not exist at all? But you can turn to your Bible. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. He said, Jesus was being led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So how do you explain? You want to know the detail? Either consult you to read Affirmation and Critique. Volume 2, verse 1. Kerry Robinshaw. Give a detailed explanation. I don't want to get into the detail. If you want to study, you can study the article. It's very hard. Very hard to study. So, I just give you a very short explanation. The Spirit of God indeed has been exist from eternity past to eternity future. But there's a kind of Spirit which will cause he who believe into him flow out rivers of living water. When? He said, it is until Jesus being glorified. Then when did Jesus been glorified? You had to check with Luke chapter 24, verse 26. He said, "Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory?" So after Jesus suffered so many things, where did he enter into? Hallelujah! He entered into resurrection! So, to say that Jesus being glorified means Jesus, after he suffered death, he entered into resurrection. After Jesus resurrected, then he became the life-giving Spirit. So this is the point number two. He said the last item, Christ in the flesh, become a life-giving Spirit. And this is the fulfilling of John chapter 7, verse 39. Okay, this is the fulfillment. And point three, that say the compound Spirit typified by the anointing ointment, a compound of one hin of olive oil with four kinds of spices and their effectiveness in Exodus chapter 30. So in Exodus chapter 30, we have a holy ointment which tell us the content, the ingredient of the Spirit. We have what? We have one hin of olive signified by the Spirit of God. We have flowing myrrh, a spice used in burial, signify the precious death of Christ. We have a fragrant cinnamon, signify the sweetness and effectiveness of Christ's death. We have a calamus. Calamus is kind of the plant grow upward from the muddy place, signify the precious resurrection of Christ. And we have a cassia. This cinnamon and acacia actually belongs to different parts of the same tree. One is in the inner part, and the outer skin of the cinnamon tree is called acacia. In the ancient time, they don't have repairing of the insect, so they burn the acacia the tree now to repair all kind of the evil the insect such as scorpion, fright, even the serpent. So it signifies the power of Christ's resurrection. Amen. Four said the spirit of Christ, a spirit of life, spirit of God, spirit of Christ, Christ himself, and the indwelling spirit in Romans chapter 8 all refer to the compound spirit that gives life. So if you read Romans chapter 8, you will find out Paul used this term interchangeably. Spirit of God, spirit of Christ, Christ himself, are all interchangeable. So that shows that they become the compound spirit. Amen. Eventually, number five, let's read number five together. Amen. The spirit of God in the moving of God's eternal economy is the seventh spirit, the sevenfold intensified spirit, the sevenfold sunlight. Amen. Eventually, due to the degradation of the church, this one spirit becomes sevenfold intensified to produce the overcomer and to consummate this age. So, chapter B say, the Catholic Church, the Protestant denomination, Brethren Assembly, Pentecostal Church, and all the three groups are held back by their imperfect and unscriptural theology from the central revelation of God and come short of the completion of God's eternal economy because of their missing, negligence of, and opposition of the above five crucial points concerning the Spirit of God. Since today, in the church life, I feel that we will not oppose this 5 points, right? But there's a possibility we might be negligent of this 5 points. If you do not want to negligence of this 5 points, what should we do? We should exercise our spirit. Whenever we come together, we come to the church meeting, we gather together, we should exercise our spirit so that we may not oppose even negligence or missing these five crucial aspects of the spirit among us. Amen. So let's read together. Amen. God must have a people who are the God-man to his overcomer for him. Concerning the church issuing in the body of Christ and consummating the new Jerusalem. Amen. We should become this kind of people who exercise our spirit, enjoy the spirit, so that we can become the body of Christ and consummating the new Jerusalem. Amen. Amen. Okay, my time is running very fast. Now I'd like to come to Rome number 3. 2 Peter 1:12 mentioned the word the present truth. In the early 20th centuries, when Brother Watchman Nee was raised by the Lord, some question come to him. What are you? What are you doing here? Are you part of the Brethren Assembly? Are you the Lutheran Church? Are you the Baptist Church? Or you are some kind of Chinese church? Brother Lee gave a very famous message called, What Are We? He used 2 Peter 1:12 to explain what are we. He coined a term called the present truth. What is present truth? Chapter A says, all the truths in the Bible, but through man's foolishness, unfaithfulness, negligence, disobedience, many truths were lost and were hidden from men. Freshly revealed truths are not God's new invention, rather they are man's new discovery. All truths are in the Bible, such as there is the law of gravity. But it was until Sir Isaac Newton, he discovered this law. The people realized, oh, there's this kind of a law in the universe. All the truths are in the Bible. When the Apostle John, he read a Revelation, what did he say? It's finished. All the Revelation in the Bible was finished. But due to man's foolishness, due to man's unfaithfulness, these truths are lost. Brother Ni give an example. He said that in 1517, Martin Luther, he began to discover this truth called justification by faith. Justification by faith has long been in the Bible, but due to man's foolishness, due to man's unfaithfulness, this truth was been lost. So this year will be the 500th anniversary for Martin Luther's to discover this truth. So we must ask, what is God's present truth in this age? B say, every worker of the law shall inquire before the law as to what the present truth is. We need to ask God, what is your present truth? You know, I check with Brother Nee's message for this point. You know, in 1934, Brother Nee had a conference called Christ is a centrality and a universality of God. Brother Nee was very excited. I said, oh, God give us a central revelation, not so-called leaves and branches. God give us some revelation, central line. Christ is a centrality and universality of God. He's very excited. So he asked his co-worker to write down some testimony in a magazine called Collection of Newsletters. But Brother Nee was very disappointed, because his co-workers, most of their responses are leaving the denomination, taking the way of the church, proper baptism, head covering. Brother Ning was dismayed. He said, from now on, whoever do not speak of the central line, Christ as the centrality and the universality of God, will no more be my co-worker. It's such a serious word. That is 1934. Now it's 2017. We need to ask, what is the present truth? Okay, we will explain this later in Romans 4. Okay, Brother Rizzi, we know that God's truths are cumulative. Later truths do not negate former. Sister D, all the past truths of God from the foundations of God's Tuesday we are see today are the cumulative revelation of God. Brother E, when God opened our eyes to see this faith, we begin to realize that we are living in the type of God's will. This tie is a continuation of all the past work of God in the previous read together F. May God be gracious to us so that we do not become cast away of the present truth. May we be watchful and may we not allow the flesh to come in or the cell to gain any ground. May God will be accomplished in us. Amen. So, since this is a serious word, if Brother Nia said such a serious word, we also need to pay attention to what he said and know that what is our present truth. So, hallelujah! Now we need to discover what the present truth is. March in the year 2017. Romans 4 says, the present truth both the central revelation of God and the lost present recovery. A say, If we ask to explain why the Lord is recovering today, we shall be able to answer in one simple sentence. I pause here a little bit. And our brother Ed Mark always liked to tell us a story. He said that one time, Wednesday asked him and said, Ed, tell us in one sentence, what is Lord's recovery? And Ed was so embarrassed because he cannot answer.
And so we need to be those to pray for the Lord's consummate move in his economy, for him to spread in our heart, for the church to grow, for the church to spread, for the gospel to go forth. And in particular, the real burden, present burden, is concerning Germany. The Lord wants to spread the truth to Germany, take care of the refugees, but raise up the church life. Raise up the churches, raise up the lampstands in Germany for his testimony. Because he wants to come back. He doesn't want to just sit in the heavens forever. He wants to come back. But he needs ones to cooperate with him. He needs one to pray with him. He needs ones to see the times of the age. There is another verse. So our brother gave us two verses. I want to read a third verse about the times. 1 Chronicles 12:32. And the children of Issachar, men who understood the times, that they might know what Israel should do. They understood the times, that they might know what Israel should do. So brothers and sisters, we need to understand the times. We need to know what we should do. We're going to see as we go forward here, brothers Nee and Lee didn't consider God's economy and the Lord's move in a vacuum. They moved at certain times based on what was going on in the world situation. And we will look at some of the details. So we need to see and understand the times. We need to realize God's sovereignty. So let's read the title of this message, message 2. God's sovereignty. The divine history within the human history. In the world situation and God's move to spread his recovery. So these are really the three Roman numerals. First, we need to see God's sovereignty. God is sovereign in every way in the universe and over everything that happens on the earth, both in our personal universe and in the broader universe on the globe. There's also a divine history that's going on alongside and within the human history. And we need to see that. Then we need to see the world situation and how the Lord operates the world situation so he can spread his recovery. You know, the world situation doesn't do one thing and the Lord's recovery the other thing. But the Lord operates the world situation. He manages the world situation so he can spread his recovery. This we need to see. So I'm going to read the preface to this book, The World Situation and God's Move. So I'm just going to briefly read the preface. But before I do, the brother who, when he shared, sharing this message, read the preface, he pointed out, reminded us that in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So our personal universe is under the Lord's sovereign control. Now let's consider other events. The events of world history have been sovereignly arranged by God for him to carry out his purpose. His purpose. As Acts 17:26 says, he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the faces of the earth, and hath determined the times beforehand, before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. So the Lord has determined everything. The rise and fall of kingdoms of earth and the boundaries of all the nations have been predetermined by the Lord. Do you realize that? The rise and fall of the nations, the rise and fall of kings, of kingdoms, were predetermined by him, but it's for his purpose, for his move, for his economy, for his recovery. So in these messages, given in Anaheim, California, in the spring of 1981, We have tried to present a view of world events from this perspective. Since the church comes out of mankind, we as his chosen ones need to have this view of man's history. Amen. God's move among men is wrapped up with the course of history. God's move is wrapped up with the course of history. So whether we speak of his becoming flesh through incarnation, or of the spread of the gospel, or of the rising up of the church life, or of the preparation of the bride, all these aspects of his move require the proper environment as far as the world situation is concerned. So for the Lord to move and to get what he wants requires the proper environment in the world situation, and he is sovereignly working to have that proper environment at a specific point in time for what he's doing in his recovery. We trust that these messages will make the reader more aware of God's arrangement of world affairs, more concerned about the crucial time in which we live, and more burdened for his ultimate move and what might be the ultimate world situation. Ultimate move in the ultimate world situation. And we will see more about that. So let's want to read Roman numeral 1. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. It is crucial that we see a vision of God's sovereignty and have a clear view of his God's sovereignty. Amen. The Lord is sovereign. Sovereign over everything and in every way. So two verses here. Revelation 4:11 and 5:1. I'll read them. 5:13. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive the glory, the honor, and the power. For you have created all things. Because of your will, they are and were created. In Revelation 5:13. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and on the sea and all things in them, I heard them saying to him who sits upon the throne, and to the Lamb be the blessing and honor and glory and the might forever and ever. So this again, this shows you the sovereignty of the Lord in this situation. He is on the throne. His throne is over the whole earth, over the whole universe. Okay, now the next Revelation 4:2 and 5:1. Immediately I was in spirit, and behold, there was a throne in heaven, and upon the throne there was one sitting. And then Revelation 5:1, and I saw on the right hand of him who sits upon the throne a scroll written, and on the back sealed with 7 seals. So again, the Lord is on the throne. He is controlling and administrating and managing the universe for his recovery and for his economy. And we're going to see an example of this with Nebuchadnezzar from Daniel chapter 2. So in Daniel 2, actually, we're going to look at Daniel chapters 2, 3, and 4, some specific situations with Nebuchadnezzar, how he came, intersected with God's sovereignty. And God's sovereignty wins every time. Amen. Amen. So in chapter 2, of course, he had the dream about a golden image. Daniel interpreted that dream for Nebuchadnezzar. And, of course, the golden image, I won't go over all the details of the image, but the top of it, the top was golden, and that signified the Babylonian Empire. Then here's what Nebuchadnezzar had to say. The king answered Daniel and said, "It is certain that your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings, a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery." So look, he extolled God. Nebuchadnezzar realized the sovereignty of God. But then he went ahead and built a great image and asked ones to worship it in chapter 3. And that's where the story of the Daniel's three friends, they get thrown into the fire, the furnace, because they wouldn't worship. And after this is all over, Nebuchadnezzar again says then in chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, Nebuchadnezzar the king to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in the whole earth, may your peace abound. It pleases me to declare the signs and wonders that God the Most High has done for me. How great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. So again, here is Nebuchadnezzar declaring the glories and the sovereignty of our God. So he was brought to this point, but he didn't learn the lesson. Brothers and sisters, we don't want to be like Nebuchadnezzar. We want to learn the lesson. We want to see God's sovereignty, and we want to function in our church life and in our human life under the realization of God's sovereignty. So in chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar has another dream. And basically, it's a wild dream, but basically it talks about someone who loses their mind. And at the end of this dream, he says this: "This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the decision is a command of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High is the ruler over the kingdom of men and gives it to whoever he wills and sets up over it the lowliest of men." So again, he was declaring the Lord's sovereignty. The Lord sets up kings and even gives it to the lowliest of men. So at the end of this dream, he was again declaring the sovereignty of the Lord. But Daniel interpreted it for him. And basically Daniel says, I'm summarizing here because I don't have time to read all the verses. King, this is about you. And you're the one that's going to be out there and eating grass and crawling around like an animal. And that's what happened. You know, short time later, 12 months later, the king says, at the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. The king said, "Is this not Babylon the Great, which I have built as a royal house by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty?" And that was it. And then for a period of time, he was out crawling around. But then eventually, in verses 34, "At the end of these days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes in heaven, and the reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored the ever-living one." So four times Nebuchadnezzar praised and worshiped and extolled the Lord and talked about his sovereignty. Brothers and sisters, we don't want to have to go through what Nebuchadnezzar went through to understand the Lord's sovereignty, right? We want to acknowledge the Lord. We want to realize the Lord is sovereign in everything he does in the world situation and in our personal situation. So the Lord is the Lord. And he is sovereign in everything he does. So let's look at A. Let's read A together now. Sovereignty refers to God's ultimate and unlimited right, authority, and power. Position. So the Lord has ultimate authority, power, and position. This is his sovereignty. Okay, let's read B together. The sovereign one, God, is above everything, behind everything, and in everything. Above, behind, and in everything. In this situation here, 1 Kings 22, 19, I'll read the verse here. And Micaiah said, "Hear therefore the word of Jehovah." Micaiah was a prophet. "I saw Jehovah sitting upon his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left." Now, the rest of the story here real quickly. The kings of Judah and Israel were having a conference or discussion. How are we going to defeat Syria? And also in the heavens there was a discussion. And eventually a lying spirit was sent to all of the false prophets, all the ones around the king of Israel. And so they went out to battle against Syria.
They went out to battle.
And Syria couldn't figure out who the king was, because the king of Israel, who they were after, hid himself. So they couldn't figure out who he was. So verse 34 in the same chapter. And a man drew a bow at random and hit the king of Israel between the scale armor and the breastplate. And the king of Israel said to his charioteer, turn your hand and drive me out of the camp, for I am wounded. So nobody could find the king. So somebody says, well, let me just do this. And the Lord, whether he blew, whether he had an angel guide it, whatever the Lord did, he guided it to get to the king of Israel, who was evil in the eyes of the Lord. So I believe this was King Ahab at the time. So the Lord is sovereign. If he needs something done, he'll send the lying spirit to make it happen. If he needs something else done, he'll some of them draw a bow and it'll happen. Brothers and sisters, God is sovereign. He is sovereign over every little situation in our life and every major situation on the earth. Nothing happens but he doesn't allow it or doesn't understand it or have it to happen. Okay, let's read C. God has the full capacity to carry out what he wants, including the desire of his heart, according to his eternal economy. Full capacity, brothers and sisters, full capacity to carry things out according to his heart, his economy. And I want to read these two verses real quick. Ephesians 1, two sets of verses. Ephesians 1, 4 to 5 and 10. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him in love. He chose it, it's going to happen. Predestinated us unto sonship through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. His will, brothers and sisters. Under the economy, the fullness of the times, to head up all things in Christ. The things in the heavens and the things on the earth in him. So this will happen. The Lord has chosen to make it happen. It will happen. And we will be those. We have the opportunity to be those who become his bride. Okay, Daniel 4:35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are considered as nothing, but he does according to his will in the army of the heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And there is no one who can resist his hand or say to him, what are you doing? No one can resist his hand. No one can say to him, what are you doing? He is going to accomplish what he wants. He manages and arranges the world affairs for his economy's sake. Amen. Okay, let's read a D together. Like Jeremiah, we need to change our position and angle from ourselves. Amen. So Jeremiah basically was in the middle of his lamentations, really just lamenting, complaining about the war, the situation of Israel. And in the middle of all of that is verse 19. You, O Jehovah, abide forever. Your throne is from generation to generation. So all of a sudden, Nehemiah turned. He turned to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we need to be like this. Every time we find ourselves looking at our situation, we need to turn and say, you, O Jehovah, abide forever. Your throne is from generation to generation. This is what Jeremiah did. He turned from his situation to the Lord. And so we need to be like Jeremiah. Just turn away from our situation and just praise the Lord. Worship the Lord because he is sovereign over all the situation. Amen. Okay, E. Together. The book of Revelation is a book of God's administration, unveiling the throne of God for the divine administration throughout the universe. Amen. And every one of these verses, don't have time to read them, but every one of these verses here has the word throne. It talks about the throne of the Lord in the heavens. The throne of the Lord in the heavens. So brothers and sisters, the Lord has a throne in the heavens and he's governing the universe. Hallelujah. Amen. And Let me just read. I do want to read 8:3. Revelation 8:3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and much incense was given to him to offer with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. So, brothers and sisters, it's our prayers that go up to the throne and cause things to happen. Praise the Lord. Okay, Romans 9:19-23 refers to God's sovereignty. Okay, read point one. We need to realize that we are God's creatures and He is our creator. As His creatures, we should not resist His purpose or answer back to Him. So He is sovereign. He is sovereign. So verse Romans 9:21. Does not the potter have authority over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? And Jeremiah 18:6. Am I not able to do with you, O house of Israel, as the potter does, declares Jehovah. Indeed, as the clay is in the hand of the potter, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. So we are in the hands of the Lord. And we are those, we were asking the Lord to give us the proper vision to see what He's doing. So we're in His hands as a lump of clay to be made into a vessel of honor. Everybody in here in the room wants to become a vessel of honor. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So the Lord wants to make us a vessel of honor. So he's sovereignly able to do that. But we do need to cooperate with Him. Amen. Okay, let's read two together. Romans 9:22-23 reveal that God has the according to His predestination. So He's predestinated us. He has the sovereignty to make us the vessels He wants to make us. Three together. In His sovereignty, God has the authority to make the ones whom He has selected and called vessels. Mercy, to contain Him in order that His glory might be manifested. So He can make us the vessels of mercy for His glory. Amen. So Romans 8:9-23. In order that He might make known the riches of His glory upon vessels of mercy which He had before prepared unto glory. Before prepared unto glory. So brothers and sisters, beforehand He's prepared vessels unto glory. Sitting in this room, we have the opportunity to cooperate with the Lord and under His sovereignty to become these vessels of mercy. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, let's read Romans 2 together. The Bible reveals the universal history according to God's economy, the divine history within the human history. So this is the second aspect we need to see in this message. There's a divine history within the human history. So the Lord is sovereign over all the things that go on because of the divine history that He wants to move forward. So let's read A together. In this universe, there are two histories, the history of man, human history, and the history of God, the divine history. The former is an outward shell, and the latter like the kernel within the shell. Two histories, divine and human. Divine and human. We need to know the divine. We need to know, just like our brother shared. We need to know the divine plan. We need to know God's plan. We need to know the central plan of God. But we also need to be aware of the human history, because the divine history functions within the human history. So let's read B together. God's move among men is wrapped up with the course of human history. And C together. In the minor prophets, the human history is defined and divided. 1:4. In the divine history, with Christ and His mighty ones, the overcomers. Hallelujah. So there's the four kinds of locusts in Joel 1:4. The human history, And the divine history, the mighty ones, the overcomers. So Joel 1:4. Joel 3:1-4. Ah, here it is. Joel 1:4 and 3. What the cutting locust has left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust has left, the licking locust has eaten. And what the licking locust has left, the consuming locust has eaten. Not very enjoyable verses, are they? But brothers and sisters, this is the human history. It's the human history. The cutting locust refers to Babylon. The swarming locust refers to Medo-Persia, the next nation that took over, the next major empire. Then the licking locust, that's Greece, the next empire that took over. Then finally the consuming locust, the Roman Empire. So these are the four major empires of mankind. And so with these four empires, wrap up mankind, wrap up the human history. And the Lord used these four empires to accomplish his purpose in Israel. So by the end of these four locusts, Christ was incarnated. Hallelujah! This is how the Lord used human history to bring forth Christ in his divine history. So in a sense, you see Israel suffering all through these four empires until 27 BC, when Rome became an empire. The empire Rome was established. And at this point, then the Lord, you know, had a way to go forward with Christ and then continue on in the New Testament. Now, 3:11. Hurry and come, all you surrounding nations, and be gathered. There cause your mighty ones to descend, O Jehovah. That's the divine history. Hallelujah. So the divine history we see there in 3:11. So Joel 1:4, we see the human history. 3:11, we see the divine history. The overcomers coming to destroy, coming to finish the age. Who here wants to be among the overcomers? Let me ask again. Who here wants to be among the overcomers?
Amen.
Amen. Much better, much better. Hallelujah. We want to be among the overcomers. Hallelujah. And that's why the Lord is speaking these words to us, that we would be those that would respond, know how to respond to what he's doing in this age. Amen. So, then D, the divine history within the human history is revealed in the Bible in considerable detail. Considerable detail. And you see, all these verses show the divine history. What the Lord is doing on the earth. Unfortunately, we don't have time to read these verses, but they show the detail of the Lord's operation, what he's after. Okay, E, let's read E together. The divine history, the history of God in man, was from Christ's incarnation through his ascension to become the life-giving spirit, and then continues with his indwelling through Christ's organic salvation to make us the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. This is the divine history to make us the bride of Christ. But it's going on inside the human history in this age. You know, John 1:14, you know, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. In Revelation 19, we see the bride. Hallelujah. And in between, we see what the Lord is doing, becoming a life-giving spirit. And so forth, and all the things the Lord did in his economy to consummate the New Jerusalem. Okay, F. We were born in the human history of the year born in the divine history. What we need to consider whether we are living in the divine history or living merely in the human history. Brothers and sisters, where are you living today? Divine history. Hallelujah. How do you live there?
In our spirit.
Amen, Chuck. Hallelujah. We live there in our spirit, in our human spirit. That's how we live in the divine history. And that's where we want to be. If our living in the world, if our living is in the world, we are merely in the human history. If we're living in the church, we're living in the divine history. Hallelujah. Amen. The divine, for it is the church life, God's history. In the church life, God's history is our history. And thus, we and God have one history, the divine history. God's history is our history, the divine history. Now, real quick here, with in Acts chapter 4, the rulers and authorities, you know, beat up a couple of the apostles and threatened them. Okay, so here's their response. Their response was like Jeremiah's response that we just read. And when they heard this, they lifted up their voice and with one accord and said, "Sovereign Master, you are the one who has made heaven and earth and the sea and all things in them." Brothers and sisters, every time we come to a situation that troubles us, we need to respond and say, "Sovereign Master." Amen. Say that together. Sovereign Master. Again, Sovereign Master. This is how we need to respond to the situations that in the human history that trouble us. But the things in the human history are for the advancement of the divine history. So if we respond, Sovereign Master, if we praise the Lord and thank Him, then the divine history is going forward in us. If we complain and lament, then we're in the human history. Where do you want to be? Human history or divine history?
Divine history.
Amen. Let's praise the Lord and be in spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, Roman numeral 3. The events of world history have been sovereignly arranged by God for Him to carry out His purpose. Brothers and sisters, His purpose. His purpose. We've been reading the verse in Acts several times. But it's the Lord's purpose. That's why He arranges the whole world situation, and our personal situation for His purpose. Okay, let's read A together. We all need a clear view from which to consider the world situation. A clear view. Okay, B. The world situation is under God's sovereign arrangement. He that has determined the appointed seasons and boundaries. Okay, the Lord determined them, brothers and sisters. He determined the appointed seasons and boundaries. See, together. For God to carry out His purpose, He has arranged the world situation and history. We realize this. He's arranged the world situation, and history is meaningful. When we realize this, just a couple of quick events here in world history. In 1588, anybody know what happened in 1588? Anybody remember? Anybody there? Okay. The English Navy defeated a much better equipped Spanish Armada. Much better equipped. Okay, God's sovereignty, brothers and sisters, God's sovereignty. Much better equipped, Spanish Armada was defeated by the English Navy. Wasn't expected, wasn't anticipated. Pardon me?
It was through the wind.
The wind, that's right. It was through the wind, that's right. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Amen. Oh, amen, 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 hallelujah. So shortly after this, okay, we're talking 1588. Shortly before 1588, two other key things happened. In 1517, Martin Luther, the Reformation, you know, he saw the matter of justification by faith, and now the 95 theses on the couch. The door of the Wittenberg Castle. That happened in 1517. Then shortly before that, in 1492, Columbus discovered America. But these three things, three major events, two of them in human history, one of them in divine history, the discovery of America, the Reformation, and the defeating of the Spanish Armada, made it possible for the gospel to be spread around the globe. Amen. Hallelujah! Because then England became the key nation on the earth. And in the 1600s, were able to migrate to the U.S. The pilgrims who were, in fact, persecuted Christians. They were persecuted Christians, moved to the U.S. Well, it wasn't the U.S., America. Or as Bill would say, one of the colonies. moved to the Americas and became the colonies, which eventually became the U.S. But the point is, this is a world situation being managed for the divine economy. So the divine economy, Martin Luther. The divine economy, migration to the U.S. Human history, the Spanish Armada, discovery of America. You see how world events are happening in conjunction with for the Lord to move forward in his economy. So that was some of the things that went on there in 1588 and 1517 and 1492. But the Lord is operating. So then, let me see here. So let's read E together. Okay, let's read D. I don't think we read D yet. All the major events in human history match God's move on earth. Amen. All the major events. All the major events, saints. E together. Since the church comes out of mankind, we, God's chosen ones, need to have this view of history. We need to have the proper church life. We must therefore know the world situation. We need to know the world situation, brothers and sisters. We need to know it. So then F together. Whether we speak of God's incarnation or the spreading of the gospel or the raising up of the church life or of the preparation of the bride, all of these aspects of God's move require the proper environment as far as the world situation is concerned. Require the proper environment as far as the world situation is concerned. So I'm going to read, this is kind of a little excerpt from some of Brother Lee speaking to his family. Now we're going to talk about another current event in 1948. In 1948, Truman won the election. I'm reading now from something I printed out. Truman's victory is considered one of the greatest election upsets in American history. Truman's election. One of the that's right. I mean, does that sound familiar? Virtually every prediction, with or without public opinion polls, indicated that he would be defeated by Dewey. Every prediction indicated he would be defeated by Dewey. In fact, in Chicago, the Chicago Daily Paper. I think the Daily News, I think it was. Anyway, one of the papers in Chicago, the morning after the election said, Truman wins. Big news, Truman wins. But they were wrong. There's pictures of Truman. Sorry, my fault. Dewey wins. Said Dewey wins. Dewey wins. And there's pictures of Truman holding up the paper of Dewey wins. It says Dewey wins. But the point is, this happened. And it was a shock to everybody. But here's how the brothers did not operate in a vacuum. Most of the Chinese actually wanted Dewey to win. But Watchman Nee said right away a telegram to Brother Lee, I ask you to come back here today. The world situation is changing. How should we handle it? Right away he realized the world situation was changing. He realized that with Truman, things would not be favorable to the Chinese. to the Chinese mainland, because then that meant the likely that they realized probably the communists would continue to take over China. So Watchman Nee said, so because of all of this, they sent Brother Lee abroad to Taiwan. So as a result of this, them knowing the world situation, understanding the world situation, they sent Brother Lee to Taiwan. And of course then, as our brother shared, there was a 100-fold increase to up to 50,000 in a handful of years. Then in 1962, Brother Lee went to the U.S. So now you see what the Lord did, what happened back in 1492 and in those in 1588 and so forth. The law the Lord is used in the United States to spread his recovery. So Brother Lee went to the U.S. so the recovery could be spread from the United States. So that's understanding the world situation and moving based on what the Lord is doing and what's happening in the world situation. As Brother Livingston said, it's an indicator of the Lord's move. So let's read E1. For Christ's ministry to be carried out, there was the need for the Roman Empire to be established, provide a situation in which redemption could be accomplished and the gospel could be spread. So because of the Roman Empire, Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem. And that's where the Lord was born. So the Lord's sovereignty raised up the Roman Empire. But then also, in the Lord's sovereignty, there was a single language, there were roads, the gospel could be spread. So much happened because the Roman Empire was raised up where the Lord could be born. Also, is how the Lord was crucified. The Bible predicts how he would be crucified, and he was crucified on a cross. That was the way of capital punishment of the Roman Empire. So the Roman Empire was raised up for his birth and for his crucifixion, and for the spread of the gospel. Amen. This is how the Lord used the world situation at that time. So let's read point two together. The Roman Empire was for the gospel. Germany was for the Reformation. Great Britain is for the spreading of the gospel, the truth. And now the United States become the center for the recovery, from which it can spread to all the continents. Spread to all the continents. So that, brothers and sisters, that is what is happening. The recovery is being spread to all the continents. The U.S. militarily, politically, economically, technically, technology-wise, is the head of the earth. Is the head of the nations. Okay, let's read three together. God will use the United States to spread his recovery so that the Lord may return. Let's read it again. God will use the United States to spread his recovery so that the Lord can return. Amen. Okay, G together. If we keep up to date with what is happening today on the earth, we realize that God is controlling the entire world situation under the leadership of the United States. The Lord is controlling and managing the entire globe under the United States for the spreading of his recovery. The Lord doesn't love the United States for the sake of the United States. He is using it to spread his recovery. Amen. And let's read G together. If we keep up to date with what is happening today on the earth, we realize that God is controlling the entire world situation under the leadership of the United States for the spreading of his recovery. Sorry, we did just read that. But Matthew 24:14, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached in the whole inhabited earth, then the end will come. Brothers and sisters, the spread of the Lord's recovery is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. The spread of the Lord's recovery is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. Can we say have a strong amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. The spread of the Lord's recovery is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom.
Amen.
This will bring the Lord back.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is why the United States was raised up.
Hallelujah.
This is why things are happening in the world affairs.
Amen.
One other real, again, brothers Nee and Lee, they studied the world affairs. And when Russia opened up in 1991, Brother Lee realized now's the time. Now's the time to go to Russia. They were planning to go to Germany, but instead they went to Russia. Now's the time for Germany, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. But they went to Russia, 190 churches, 4,500 believers there. But this was because Brother Lee knew the times. He knew the times. He knew it was the right time. He knew what was going on in the world situation. As an indicator of the Lord's move, you realize the Lord is moving to Russia. Today, brothers, the Lord is moving to Germany. How do we know? Because of these refugees. It just woke us up. We realized, something very, very unusual is happening. And because of the refugee migration, it focused us on Germany. Now we realize not only are we burdened for the refugees, but we're even more burdened for the proper testimony in Germany. For the Lord to raise up the lampstands, to raise up all that he wants to do in Germany. Because this is just part of what he's doing around the globe. All around the earth, the recovery is expanding and growing and spreading in a very, very strong way. It's unbelievable. For the last 90 years, the Lord's recovery is going this way. Never in history of Christianity has any move of the Lord gone on unabated for 90 years. The Lord's recovery has gotten stronger and stronger and stronger in the last 90 years. Hallelujah!
Amen.
He's coming back.
Amen.
And it's just and now, Germany. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's read H together. We need to be more aware of God's sovereign arrangement of the world situation, more concerned about the crucial time in which we live, and more burdened for God's move in the present situation. These three points, more aware of God's sovereign arrangement, more aware, brothers and sisters, more aware, more concerned about the crucial time in which we live, and more burdened for God's move in the world situation. We need to understand the times and move according to what we see as in the world situation, an indicator of the Lord's move. So let's pray with your neighbor two by two. And there will be time after the next meeting for prophesying.